Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Today I've got a special guest. I guess guests are normally special. I don't know what it is about guests that makes them so special, but they are. But we're going to have one of the things, if you've listened to this show for a while, you've heard me talk about our duty of religion. And before you turn that dial, look up in the Law of Virginia. In Article 1, Section 16 of the Virginia Constitution, it will define the term I just used. So one of the things I've been talking about is our responsibilities. Our responsibilities are greater than our rights. In fact, our rights will come as fruit of us executing our responsibilities. I've said often on the show, one of my theme statements is, our freedom will come in proportion to our faith. Last week's show, I disturbed somebody. I had a listener send a blog response on our www.faithfreedoms.net. And he challenged me, and he believed that I had made a certain comment. And what happened is, and he told me I was taking Madison out of context. Actually, he took my statements out of context, or he might not have said that. So I responded to the blog, and it ended up being about a 6-page rebuttal there, kind of a written debate, and it was, I enjoyed it. I'll probably at some time today, I might make some comments about some of the things he said, maybe something I'll bring it up next week. But we're going to talk about some of the things that were said. I was excited that somebody who disagrees with me listens to our show. I encouraged him that he would call in and give me some commentary on his beliefs and his thoughts, because I said that callers are to talk radio what proofreaders are to, great, I'm looking for the C word, composition, I'm sorry, I lost it there for a moment, that callers are to talk radio that proofreaders are to composition. Gives us an opportunity to clarify our statements, get back on track, check our references, and make sure that what we are saying is true. So I encourage people to give us a call at 465-6700 today. While I'm interviewing our guest, you're not going to be able to do that. You'll get a busy signal. But what I'm going to do is, one of the things that I've been endorsing and pushing is that we get involved, that we take up our responsibilities, that is the duty of our religion. Go ahead, and I'll just leave it for people to look up the definition of religion in the Virginia Constitution, Article 1, Section 16. What I have here today is a wonderful lady who I've asked to come speak to us. She's involved in a duty of religion. One of the things that, if you read the Bible, it talks about pure and undefiled religion is to take care of the widows and the orphans. Isn't that interesting? So there's somebody who's taking care of the least of these, shouldering it herself and with her community, her faith community, instead of leaving it to a secular government to take care of. So we're going to be talking to her. Her name is Linda Williams, and she heads the Hester House Ministries. We're going to be telling you all about it. And I want you to listen. I want you to hear the motivation of Linda Williams. And so as I understand, she's on. Linda, how are you today?
I am just fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I thank you so much for taking out time. So I'm just going to go ahead and go through my little outline here and ask you some thought-provoking questions or kind of open-ended questions so you can let us know your thoughts. So tell us about Hester House Ministries. What is it? What does it do? And just give us whatever background you think is appropriate.
Okay, no problem. Hester House Ministry is a nonprofit organization that focused primarily on displaced pregnant women. We've been in existence for about 9 years now, located here in Newport News. Our ministry focuses on young ladies who are homeless and have no other resources as far as housing is concerned, and we take them in. The women also, we also as a ministry, for the ladies that we cannot house, we try to offer other resources, such as a baby closet, support resources that are in the community that they may not be aware of. So the women can stay with us up to 60 days after the baby is born. At that time, we are encouraging them to be finding housing the whole time they're with us. Hopefully, at the end of that 60 days, they have secured housing, and we help them transition into something more permanent.
And I've got some questions about what it was that And I'm stand by. I've got an audio problem here. I'm sounding like I'm in a echo chamber, so our sound guy's going to be taking care of that. So just go ahead and bear with me as I deal with it. When we were talking the other day, and I'm going to be asking a question about your motivation to start this Hester's House Ministries, but the other day you made a comment to me that you had some experience with foster children.
My husband and I had been foster parents for over 25 years for the Newport News Department of Social Services. Also at that time, I also worked at the homeless shelter. What I saw was a cycle, as I shared with you the other day, of young ladies that were in the system, in social services, in the homeless population, having been foster kids and just kind of recycling that homelessness and passing it on to their children. And I thought that there had to be a way, even if it was one girl or two girls at a time, that we could reach in and help those young ladies stop the cycle of homelessness and also begin to be nurturers of their own children. So that's my passion. We want to put foster care, homelessness out of business, one person at a time. And I'm very, very passionate about that.
How long ago did you start contemplating this? You said that the Hester House Ministries has been operating for about 9 years. So how long does it go back to your actually considering doing this?
20 years prior to that. It's been a 20-year dream to provide a place of safety and refuge, nurturing for women. Right after I started fostering, because I saw that I was not only fostering the children, I was fostering the families. I'm an advocate for birth families too. So it's about a 20-year dream, almost 30 years now, that I've had this thing about the Hester House deep inside of me.
One of the things that I know when the ministry began, you had to secure a house. When you talk about a Hester House, and tell us also where that name came from, but you had to secure a house. So I'd actually like to hear the story about, obviously you had some debates with your husband over this. And of course, this is a faith and freedom show. And I talk to people, my goal is to empower all of us with some knowledge, some wisdom, some understanding of what we ought to be doing and why we should be doing it. But also, there's a little bit of divine intervention that goes on. So what was the, so just to wrap all that up, you had to have a house, and I know there was some decision-making that had to go between you and your husband to where you had to actually turn your back on other things you're doing in life to press on. And then, of course, where did the name come from?
Well, the name comes from my grandmother, who was a lady that took in anybody and everybody. So it was named in memory of and in honor of my grandmother, Hester Brown. But the house itself was, I had always been looking and looking for a house, and we happened to secure a house that had been repossessed by Habitat on the East End community. And my husband and I bought the house. It was, for lack of better words, it was in deplorable conditions. But my husband went in, renovated the house, and we were able to use it for the ministry. But because of codes and compliances, Newport News does not allow you to have more than 3 unrelated people living in a home. And plus, there are no resources from the city nor from the federal government, from the state government, that would help you start a business like that or start a ministry like that. So my husband and I had to use our own resources to get the house, to maintain the house. And it's just the blessings of those people who believed in what we were doing that kept supporting us. Now, that means that we survived and we still are on a shoestring budget. I have no paid staff. Everyone who helps volunteer, myself included. So it is God's grace and God's goodness that allows us to continue with the Hester House, and we do it to His excellence. So I say all that, and I don't want people to think, well, that's probably like a really shoddy place. It is wonderful. It is done to His glory, and I know it exemplifies that. So that's kind of the history of the Hester House. We've had probably about 30 young ladies to have come through, in, since the time we started the ministry. Some ladies do very well. Some don't do very well. But I've come to learn that I'm not doing it for them, that I'm doing it as an extension of my faith and my assignment that God has given my husband and myself.
Now, what were some of the things that you were talking to your husband, Anthony, when you guys were making the decision to launch into that? Was there...
the thing was, you know, do I quit my job, which was a very good job, and did I step out on faith and continue that? And feeling like part of me was jeopardizing my family's financial stability. But the other thing is that I had to do what I felt God had called me to do. And my husband was very supportive as he began to believe in this is really something that I have to do, and it's really something that God has called. So he's truly instrumental in helping me. He was really like the wind beneath my wings. But that was the challenge. Do you leave your job, and do you step into this, which is all-consuming? Because whenever you take other people on as a responsibility, you really don't get the luxury of being on from 9 to 5. It's a 24/7. And you're not there, you're praying. So it's a full-time, full-time ministry.
This is not an infomercial. What I asked Linda Williams to come talk to me about was so that people could hear what's going on, rather than just talk theoretically. I talk about theory on the show because we have to understand our reference and understand why we ought to do something, and I think we'll be more profitable, more effective at what we do in our civic duty and what I call our duty of religion, ultimately, as if we know why we're doing it, why we ought to do something. And I'm completely inspired by Anthony and Linda, what they've done. And they've done it under the radar. They've done it without support. And this is not an infomercial, but I will tell you, there's an opportunity where people are listening. When this thing first started, I had met Linda at a computer ministry we were involved in. And what happened is I understood that they understood themselves about what role the church had, what role that each of us had individually, what our responsibilities were, and that if she was going to break the system, and these are not her words, but break this pattern of relying on a system that's not going to empower us to live properly, it's actually going to make us dependent perpetually. If you got to break that cycle, we're going to have to do it as an example, actually living through it. At the time, we were doing a ministry that people around us were trying to do the same thing under government grants, and they were failing. And we were just doing it to do it and surviving by divine intervention at that time. So I'm sure that was an encouragement to Linda. But this is what I want you to do. Linda's going to tell us her phone number. If you want to find out later and you want to get your church involved or your community organization or your neighborhood or whatever it is to support Anthony and Linda in what they're doing and be just enjoy the joy of ministering to the least of these and making a difference in people's lives, Linda's going to tell you her phone number, and you can always find out more about us, and I'm going to have a brochure attached to our website at faithfreedoms.org eventually. It'll probably go up tonight when I podcast this broadcast. So, Linda, what is the way that people can contact you if they want to find out more? And we'll later in the conversation, we're going to ask you some questions about specific things that can be done to support you.
Okay. I can be contacted. Area code 757-245-4466.
Folks, Linda and Anthony Williams, examples of what we're looking for, folks. That's what's going to take us back. That's what's going to restore our nation, is folks like Linda and Anthony Williams giving of themselves, loving their neighbor as themselves, because hey, they're motivated by their love for God. Thank you for listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM on this Liberty Works radio network. And if you want to support what they're doing there, it's 757-245-4466. And you can contact us at faithfreedoms.org to find more information.